You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
Good day, Victory Dumaguete. And today, we're going to continue our series on the Gospel Explained. And timing, no? It's Founders Day. I just want to greet also a happy Founders Day to all Silimanians. The theme of our Founders Day is hope arising from the solid rock, which is Jesus Christ, which is so timely, no, for our message for today. The reason why we're having this series is so that we would have a biblical view, an accurate view of the gospel, because the gospel is very important in our lives. It is the reason why we worship, the reason why we read our Bibles, the reason why we join victory groups, the reason why we hope for the future, the reason why we pray, the reason for everything that we do. It is from that message. And that's why it's important for us to really understand what does that mean, so that also, since God called us to preach the gospel, we would have an accurate proclamation of it. And God also has called us to live out the implications of that gospel in our lives, so that we would have an accurate demonstration of it in our lives also. All right, and we've been going through the book of Romans for the past couple of weeks, and today we're going to expound Romans chapter 8, verses 18 to 30. I'm going to read Romans chapter 8, 18 to 20 for the sake of the reading of the scripture today. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revelation of the sons of God. Lord, we thank you, Father. Thank you for these verses that we're going to read today. I pray, God, that it would transform us. I pray, God, that it would open our eyes to the hope that we have in you. And I pray, Father, God, that it would strengthen our faith in the present as we continue to live out the gospel in our lives today. And I pray, God, even for some people here today, that they would have a genuine encounter with the person behind the gospel, which is Jesus Christ, as we continue to expound your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. And I love what Paul is saying here in our message for this week. And just for us, para masabta na to, no? I-connect na to sa ato ang message from last week. The clause manggod from last week's message is this, that to live the life in the Spirit, there's so much perks to it, meaning the spirit of adoption, we become His sons and daughters. Then the resurrection power of God helps us, our mortal bodies, even though it's sinful. Then the mind of the Spirit, we can access it because of the Holy Spirit given to us. But the clause there are for those who are in Christ and for those who are indeed who would suffer with Him. In Romans 8:17, it said there, we will be glorified with Him if indeed we suffer with Him. The prerequisite to glorification is suffering in the present. And I want to stress that today, because the life of faith is not without suffering. Contrary to the views of other views of Christianity, that if you give your life to God, all your problems are going to run away, it's all going to disappear, no suffering, no pain, everything's going to be provided for, no sickness, we will gain all of the favors, because you're a son and child of God. You can name it and claim it. Okay, and all of that. That's the popular view of Christianity. But that's not the Christianity that I experience, and that is not the Christianity that the Bible says. And I know a lot of Christians who suffered for their faith. Early Christians were martyred for their faith. They were impaled. They were burned to the death. But yet, despite of all of these things, they continued till the end. I know some Christians in the present who's battling with cancer for long periods of time. Ravi Zacharias battled with it. Diba? And died, yet they continued till the end. I know some Christians who just went through with long periods of suffering, lost a loved one, yet they continued to hope in their faith. The hall of faith in the book of Hebrews, if you're going to read it, these were Christians who suffered tragedies, sawed into, fed to lions, that they died hoping for God's promises. I know some people, some Christians in the present, who contracted COVID-19. Some of them died, some of them suffered severely, yet they continued to believe in the goodness of God. They continued to hope in a future that God has prepared for them. The life of faith is not without suffering. Yet why are these crazy Christian people continuing to hope despite of their suffering, even to the death? And why is Paul saying here in Romans chapter 8, 18, that for I consider that my present suffering, our present suffering, are nothing compared to our future hope and future glory in Him. And what we're going to see here in the next couple of verses are three reasons why it's worth it to hope in the message of the gospel. Number one, we hope because Jesus already saved us. It is done. It is finished. Okay, in Romans 8, 19 to 23, I'm gonna skip some verses now for the sake of time. But it's what Romans 8, verse 19, it says, "For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God." Meaning all creation is in anticipation for that. "For we know," verse 22, he said, "for we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth." Meaning there's something good that's being birthed, but childbirth, diba? Night pains, night, it's groaning. Romans 8:23, "Not only creation, but we ourselves put, nag-groan po na, we're in pain. Because we're looking forward towards something that's about to be birthed. We have the first fruits of the Spirit, grown inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies." And Romans 8:24, it says here, "For in this hope we were saved," past tense. Basically, what this verse is saying is this: because we believe in the promised future glory, we are saved in the present. Okay? The promised salvation of God is not, okay, you're going to give your life to God, that's it. Okay, humanata na. No. There's a time frame for that salvation. And the full consummation, paabuton pa na to. Pero, because you already believe that what He says He will do, we are all saved. And what, from where are we saved? Romans 8:21, "that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God." And basically what this verse is saying is that we are saved from bondage to corruption, from bondage to decay, enslavement to decay of our mortal bodies, basically enslavement to death, okay? And we would be saved and we will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Because Adam sinned from the beginning. We all sinned, okay? And that's been an established point, established idea in from Romans chapter 1 and Romans chapter 3. Adam fell into sin in the garden. Creation, including humanity, has been subjected to corruption and futility. The meaning of corruption is decay and death. All right, futility is false worship. We're given into worshiping other gods. But yet, we were saved. And how were we saved when the second Adam came? The second Adam fell on that hill on Golgotha to reverse the full effects of the fall, to make us sons and daughters again. And how? By faith, when we believe that there will be a revealing in the future of the sons of God, because we believe that in the future we are saved here in the present. Before, we are hopeless, no hope, having no God in the world, corrupted and subjected to futility. Now we hope for the fullness of the redemption of our mortal bodies. We are all saved now, but our bodies are still corrupted. But a time will come, guys. This will be perfected. In Romans 8:19, "For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. As we believe the promise and hope for its consummation, at the present there will be sufferings. So we hope until the final consummation of our redemption. As we hope, we wait for it patiently." In Romans 8:23, it said here, "And not only creation, but we ourselves have the first fruits." Okay, which is another explanation on the present salvation and future hope. Na kaning first fruits, meaning sa first fruits, is down payment, initial installment. We'll already save, pero down payment pa lang. Pero ang full payment is not yet. Okay, the full payment is not yet. So we wait eagerly for that. So again, the life of faith is not without present suffering. But Jesus saved us already from our eternal suffering. That's why we hope, because we've already been saved. Then second reason why we continue to hope is this: we hope because the Holy Spirit helps us in our present struggles. In Romans 8, chapter 26, it said here, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We need someone who would intercede for us. If for our own sake alone, we can never go to God. We can never come near to God. We can never pray to God. We can never, in this wicked body, in this malicious minds and wicked minds, in this flesh that is super sinful, we need someone who would help us. Though God saved us, Jesus saved us already and made the first down payment of the Spirit in us, but still we are still in this flesh that is weak. And He's saying here that in our weakness, in the weakness of the present, we have a paraclete, the Holy Spirit, parakletos, a helper who would intercede for us. The life of faith is not without suffering, but the Holy Spirit helps us as we hope and suffer. How? By enabling us to pray. This is what we see here in these verses. You want to be victorious in your Christian life? You want to be victorious against sin? You want to be victorious in the areas of struggles in your life? You have to have a life of prayer. We need to have a life, deep life of prayer. But what we see here in these verses is that prayer is not our work. It is God's work in us through the power of the Holy Spirit in us. This is so powerful. Prayer is such an important part of Christian living. A Christian devoid of prayer is a defeated Christian. We pray because our struggle with sin cannot be won in the flesh. If you fight through willpower and fleshly strength, you will be defeated. It cannot be done. We fight by living in the Spirit. Living in the Spirit is done by being in Christ. Being in Christ is accomplished by faith. Our faith expressed through confession and believing. What do you call confessing our belief in Christ through our mouth? What do you call that? Isn't that prayer? The more we increase in our prayer life, all the more we defeat indwelling sin in our mortal bodies. The question is this: how can we pray? Because the Holy Spirit has been granted to us as the initial down payment. That is why we can't pray. You can never take credit for your life of prayer. It is the Holy Spirit's work in us. Without the Spirit in us, we cannot pray. But in our weakest points, which is almost all the time, where we can't pray, it is the Holy Spirit that enables us to pray so we can fight this fight of faith. So to the Christian listening to this message, take heart. Because the battle is not just yours. The battle is through the power of the Holy Spirit inside you, with the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, is the same Spirit that is in you and is enabling you to pray. That's why you can defeat, can walk a life of righteousness, you can live in the Spirit. Lastly, we hope because the God the Father already planned our future glory. This is so amazing. Romans 8:28 is saying, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom He predestined, He also called, and those whom He called, He also justified, and those whom He justified, He also glorified. Amazing! Though we experience suffering as we hope for the future glory God has promised for us, we know that for those who genuinely love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose. For the person who is justified by faith, meaning the person who is a Christian, who gave his life to God, for the person who is justified by faith, all your suffering has meaning and purpose. And what we can see here, the purpose is good. You know why good? Because it's for your future glory. Your present suffering is a prerequisite for your future glory. His promised full consummation of our present salvation. The present salvation is a down payment. But He promised a full consummation in our present suffering. is a prerequisite for that. What does that mean? What does future glory means? Glory simply means weight, ascribing weight, describing how weighty a person is. In other words, assigning value. So basically, what we're waiting for is for God to assign the future value that He has in store for us. So the question is, what is our future value? In these verses, what we can see, our future value is no less than to be like the second person in the Trinity, to be Christ-like, to be God-like, to be perfected the way God originally created us to be. He's saying everything works for the good. Why? Because He authored it. Who can stop the plans of God? Who can thwart His actions? Who can assail His throne? No one. It is He who foreknows, and it is He who predestines. What is He foreknew? What did He predestine to be His sons and to be His daughters? No one can take that away from you. No less than the most powerful person in the universe has planned that for you. It is He who calls. It is He who justifies. It is He who glorifies. If He is the one who authors it from the beginning to the end, even before you were born, who can thwart His good purpose? We can stake our life on it. Everything will work for the good of those who love Him, who has been called according to His purpose. You know what? Sometimes we may not understand the sufferings that we are going through in the present. We lose our jobs. We get sick. We lose a friend or a loved one. Someone betrays us. Sometimes we don't understand maybe you're a student right now, why do my classmates, they enjoy getting into drunkenness, premarital sex, and here I am, I'm a Christian, I don't get into that. Yes, I know I need to follow God, but yet I suffer right now because I know they're enjoying. Sometimes we don't really understand, but you know deep inside of you that you need to live the suffering life for the sake of the glory of God, as you wait patiently for your future glory. Sometimes you don't really understand the present sufferings. But rest assured, all these seemingly setbacks and sufferings in the present will make sense when we finally reach the finish line. We will fully understand why all these happened and that it all aligns according to His good purpose. If you're suffering in the present, it's okay to question God. I'm not saying you're suffering, then you just dismiss it. You dismiss your emotions. That's unhealthy also. Acknowledge if you're frustrated. Acknowledge if you're angry. Acknowledge if you're frustrated with God. It is helpful for our souls to just pour it out to God. God is never intimidated by that. God wants to hear all of those. We may never fully understand, but it's okay to ask God. You ask, why God? Why me? Why this painful? Why my parents? Ask God and pour out all of your frustrations. But never, ever, ever question God's motives. Why? Because on the cross, He proved to us that He loves us so much that He went all the way to the point, to the death of His Son for sinful people like us. We may question what's happening in the present, but we can never question God's love for us. He loves us, guys. He died. He came. He suffered for us. We may never understand, but we know everything will contribute to His good purpose for us. You can only connect the dots when you arrive in the finish line. While you are running the race that God has for you, we hope for our Heavenly Father's planned future glory waiting for us. As I end this message today, I just want to share with you our experience during the first pregnancy of my wife. And it was very fulfilling, but it was very painful. I saw my wife having morning sickness. I saw her having a hard time eating. I saw her doesn't know what to eat. I saw how difficult it was for her. It was very expensive. I saw how difficult it was for her to sleep during the late stages of the pregnancy. It was so difficult. It was so painful to look at her. But when I asked her, and then we started to look at the pictures, we started to look at the video of the ultrasound, we can't help but look at the future face of the baby that we're going to have. And despite of the pains of the present, just looking at those pictures and videos encourages all the more to just persevere, because we know this is just temporary. We know the time will come, this baby will come out, and it's going to be very, very beautiful. What enables the mother really to press on with the pregnancy is not just because there's a baby inside. It's really the joy of birthing the baby and of seeing the baby for the first time. Of finally seeing face to face what you've been, what the mother has been struggling for 9 months to nurse in her tummy. In the same way, what enables us to press on despite our present sufferings as Christians is the hope of the future revelation of the sons of God, of finally seeing God face to face without shame and fear in our eyes. That's why we struggle for it every single day, because are you really sure you're gonna be revealed as a son of God or a daughter of God at that time? No one really knows. All we know is we have faith in the present, but just the idea of finally seeing God face to face without shame, without fear in my eyes excites me. That a time will come, we will not struggle anymore with sin. That a time will come, the future sons and daughters will finally be revealed, where He will personally wipe every tear in our eye, where we will walk on the aisle as the bride of Christ, and He will clothe us with glory to be the same as Jesus Christ in His glory, our firstborn, where all creation will be brought back from where it was in the garden. The animals will be in perfect peace with man, and all the flowers in the trees will sing in worship to God, where we will feel the fullness of His love and presence, unhindered, unblemished, perfect. And we will all say, our past sufferings are nothing compared to this present weight of glory that is here with us. That picture strengthens me in the present despite of the sufferings that I'm going through. I hope that strengthens you as well. So how do we apply this message today? And for me, the first really application is a deeper understanding of the future hope that He has called for you. That's why I really invite everyone, join a Victory group, because knowing the will of God is a community activity. It's not just a personal thing. The early Christians, they're doing that in community. The disciples were doing that in community. Jesus taught that in community in 2, 3 or small groups. In the same way with us here in Victory, we do that through small groups. I encourage you to be part of one. Please do sign up today so you'll have a deeper understanding of that. Number two is, as we suffer in the present, we persevere and wait patiently for the future glory. And I want to add, with joy and gladness. Kay nindot kayo, kay nothing compared, guys. Perfection of our bodies, nothing compared to the present suffering. O sara may present suffering na to karon, di ba? Compare it. So dili ka, you can't have premarital sex. You can have sex when you're married. You can still have that. Diba? Unsa man ang suffering, just to wait for that. God will give that to you anyway. And that couple of thousands na imo ang gibalibaran because it's an illegal deal, God wants to provide for you in the right way, but a time will come. You'll be provided with everything eternal. Nothing compared, as in. So, we wait patiently with joy and gladness. How do we persevere in that? We meditate on the future hope that God has for us. The practice of quiet time, solitude, waiting on the Lord, meditation, prayer. Diba katuwa tong gikuan ganiha? Is very important in the life of a Christian. I encourage you to apply this. Set a time, set a place in your house where you meditate, you read, you pray. Lastly is preach the gospel. This is so good. Diba nindot kayo ang message na we can't just keep it this to ourselves. Let's preach it to other people. As I started this message, I said that we all hope for a Christianity that is full of provision, where we will not get sick, where there is fullness of joy, where all sorrows and pains are gone. We all hope for a Christianity where we will get all that we needed and wanted. We hope for a Christianity without suffering. That's exactly what God wants for us. But that's for our future glory. But as for the present, let's suffer well in our struggle against sin and pursuing righteousness. Let's struggle to live the life of faith that God has called us to live. Let's suffer for the future glory that He has in store for us. Why? because our present sufferings is nothing compared to the future glory that is about to be revealed for us. A time will come, there will be a revealing of the sons of God. And I'm praying you're gonna be there. I'm praying that I'm gonna be there.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorydumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.